You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I got to put the feet up. I'm tired. 790-2040 is the phone number. Wake Up Tucson comments at gmail.com. You're on 1030 The Voice. Local news and talk, blazing a path of talk show excellence throughout your day.
Wow. No wonder you're tired.
Our little pivot buddy, Zach, doing a good job. I think he's had Rockin' Robbins on today. He's going to tell you everything's great at the U of A. Throwing your money around like a drunk sailor. We got Billy Buckmaster at noon. In between them, we got Hugh Hewitt. We got Dave Ramsey.
Get weird. Hey, it's Dave. Get weird. Stop using your credit card to buy a hot tub you don't need. Get weird.
And then, of course, Lee Habib with his great Our American Stories during your drive home. So if you missed anything today, go to kvui.com. We got a great podcast page. And we had, of course, Grant Kruger was just on from Reformer Union and Proof and the Maverick. And he is part of a group of bar restaurant owners suing Pima County for their silly little curfew. I think they're going to win that one. I don't think the county got nothing. So we'll see. But let's go right to the phones. We got our good friend of the show, Matt Neely, calling in from the bunker on the east side. It's kind of like getting a call from Art Bell calling from the middle of the desert.
from where's he from? Pahrump or Nevada?
Right. I think it's Pahrump. You are correct.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, so that's good. I'll go with that. I can wear that crown.
You married a more age appropriate spouse than Art, but congratulations.
Art, there was a. Art was a complex man.
Now, before you say, yes, sir.
So I will give Art credit for this. He actually, through his bumper music, which you know is, it was just a great element of his show. It really helped me realize that I was actually, after 25 years, I was actually okay with ABBA. So I think. And that's like, I talked to you about this. That's sort of one of those, a guilty pleasure, you know? So Art Bell made me be okay with that. But in addition to all the paranormal stuff and, you know, yeah.
So here we go. If you have been abducted by aliens and you live west of the Rockies,
call Malvern online.
That's
West Malvern on. It's 1-5-5-2-0-7-9-0-2-40. East of Malvern on is 790-2040. And of course the wild card line, 790-2040.
If you've been abducted by aliens near Grant and Malvern on and possibly been the victim of a probing, call 790-2040. And the spaceman Tom Callahan will be picking up the phone.
I don't want to.
Tom says, I don't want those calls.
After 1 month into this job, he's like, I'm refusing. Matthew.
So just a quick circle back with Grant. Great call from him.
Yep.
I think it. A couple of things. First of all, it really reinforces this dichotomy that I have a problem with this dichotomy of the county and the city. It's like the old Merrill Marco line where they say, you know, women toy with men by saying, come closer, go away, come closer to me, go away. And it's the same thing with the city and county. It's like, you know, come to downtown. We've got these blue stickers on the windows that say ready for you and we're ready for you and it's safe. You can come downtown. And it's like, go away. It's dangerous. And it's this weird dichotomy because they realize that people not going downtown or going out has a price to it. Right.
Right.
So it's this weird dichotomy that we're getting. And I don't know why it's safe to go downtown up until 9:59. And, you know, we've already had that conversation, but after 10:01, it's somehow, you know, bad. And the other thing that that Grant was saying, let's say you have even a restaurant. He's talking about his places, but even like a Fleming's or a Sullivan's where they have maybe a clientele that maybe eats dinner a little later. Well, they're not going to take their last seating at 9:30. The people go there, they want a leisurely dinner, right?
Right.
So they're taking their last reservation at 8:00, right? So it's not just cutting off maybe a half hour of their business, it's cutting off, you know, 2 hours of prime time business for them.
Well, and the city county dynamic's been so interesting, right? So up until this year, everyone would say the county was, you know, the city would follow the county. But then it just appeared to me that Rahina had Ramon Valadez by the nose and dragged him all over the place.
Yeah. And the only other thing I want to say about the county curfew, I'm not justifying this, but I think the reason that they did it the way they did, they got no hammer. Like, for you and me to go out at 10 o'clock, yeah, they can pull you over and say, look, you need to go home. But there's not much of it. Legally, there's not much of a hammer they have. But the hammer they do have is health permits in restaurants. And so I think that's why they had 85% compliance with a voluntary, which is a great discussion on Grant's part. You had 85% compliance on a voluntary, you're just asking people to do it. You got 85% compliance. I think most people would just say, I'm taking that win and we're good. But really the county has no, if you or I go out and take a walk at, you know, 11 o'clock at night, do they have a legal hammer they can throw at you? But the hammer they do have, they're using, right? And that's on restaurants. So they got 85% compliance with this this curfew. But they made it mandatory, not voluntary, and because the only hammer they have is they can pull a health permit and you can't operate a restaurant. That's my thought on it.
So Matt always comes very prepared, which we appreciate, unlike myself. And he has a story that he kind of has a personal connection to just in relation to finding out about this, but it's, I'm going to call it the weirdest underground economy that's occurring up in Maricopa County that is not happening here, and it's not what you think. And it's a huge economic boom up in the Maricopa area that, because of the way we transact business on a governmental, some of the decisions we made, we've actually scared all of it away. Is that an accurate description, Matthew, as a tease for next segment?
That is the mother of all teases, man. That's great.
All right. When we come back, Matt's going to talk about this. And, you know, he has a personal connection, so that's why he knows about it. But as he was telling me this yesterday, I said, oh, that's really, really interesting. And there's an economic impact coming on here that, of course, we're not getting down here. I know you're in shock. I'm going to throw my chair down again and fall off of it again. So, Matt Neely.
I am also falling out of my chair.
Oh, double. Matt Neely, Christy Simone. This is for the county. I've got plenty of nothing celebrating the Joe Pass birthday today. Wake up. Hold on, I need to go to the City of Tucson PC police. Are we allowed to say the name of this group? Are you all right? Forget about it.
So. AWB.
Wow.
Snuck it through.
Woof, can't say the full name or Rahina and the crew would come shit us down. So let's get back to Matt Neely. He is calling from his underground compound in Pahrump on the east side of Tucson, Arizona.
Good morning.
Tell us about this. You were telling me this yesterday, the dynamics of what's going on in Pima County and the dynamics of the state. And then, of course, the goofiness of California is creating what unintended economic boon for the Maricopa County?
Yeah, soccer. and this is really amazing because what you have is because California has banned, I'm not sure, but they banned anything outside soccer leagues, anything. So Phoenix has reaped an amazing influx of weekend soccer, of families coming out to watch soccer, play soccer for their kids. you know, what's so interesting, we have a nephew up there that's, you know, really involved in soccer. And we've got teams going out, like they'll practice at home in California during the week, but they will come out on the weekends to, the Phoenix area and play soccer. And they've had hundreds of games and hundreds of teams coming out there every weekend. Okay, throughout the fall. So in November, there was called the Phoenix Rush Tournament. And there were 400 teams that came to that tournament. And that was 400 teams, and mostly from out of state. And our nephew is telling us that he refereed some games. And he says on one Friday night alone, there were 100 games. And he said it was all California and other states because they can't play where they're at. And parents, right, are making these decisions, like they're making their own personal decisions to come to Arizona so their kids can play. I mean, they may be concerned, with COVID or this or that, but their parents and families, when the rubber meets the road for their own families, are making that decision that, hey, the kid, you know, our son or daughter wants to play soccer, and we want to make sure that they continue and don't have that avenue shut off. So anyway, they were telling me that a U-12, and you can educate me on this, Chris, even more, but a U-12 team has 10 to 12 kids. A U-13 and up team may have 16 to 18 kids.
Correct.
So if you're talking, you know, average that out at 14, let's say is an even distribution of teams, that's 5,600 kids coming in from out of state. That's only 5,600 kids. Somebody has to bring them here, right? So that's 5,000 to 10,000 more people. That's somewhere between 10,000 and 15,000 people that are, and some of them are actually either buying condos, like or renting them, or staying at hotels. Hotels and restaurants are doing very well up in Phoenix.
Well, that's what Grant was talking about. The folks that the partners that own Cobra have places in Maricopa County, and they're doing very, very well.
Yeah. And what's sad, what's really sad, and this came out in November, late October, early November, was when Pima County said, hey, we're shutting down all the fields. No, you know, no leagues, no nothing. Well, look, stop and think about it a minute about the hundreds, if not thousands, of hospitality people in Tucson and Pima County that are not only furloughed, they're let go. Their jobs were terminated, right? And here you have Californians by the thousands, right, coming out here just so their kids can play soccer, that would be, you know, eating in a restaurant that we've all figured out the right way to do that at a restaurant. They can operate safely, right? And so Pima County, by their, short-sighted or ill-sighted or wrong-sighted ordinances, has shut that off at a time where the hospitality business, restaurants and hotels, are just, so this is the worst it's ever been for them.
So as a guy who's traveled with coach soccer teams, been with soccer teams, been on the field, everything you're saying can be done safely in the world of soccer, right? You can tell the parents to sit 10 feet away from each other, and there's still plenty of space for them to watch their kid play soccer. All the hotels that they would stay at are operating safely. You and Grant already mentioned the restaurant side of this. So the idea that Pima County closed down all the fields for these things are so stupid, right? And what did we learn from, I was thinking about this, you were speaking, Matthew, is for all the billions of dollars that Pima County has spent, right? With all the hundreds of millions of dollars we've spent on this executive team built under Lord Huckleberry, we are not the B team, we're the C team, right? We can't comprehend that road dollars from the state should go to roads. How are we supposed to fight a pandemic? Right? We are the C team, not the B team. Yep. We're the C team.
Absolutely. And not only did they have this Phoenix Rush tournament, they had a Thanksgiving weekend tournament, 500 teams, many from out of state. Okay, 500 teams. And then the top teams in Southern California, they're going even further than that. They're arranging friendly matches with the top teams in the Phoenix area. Right. So this is all going on. Right. And not only should the restaurant, Visit Tucson should be hammering Pima County for this dumb decision.
Can't do that. Pima County flows several million dollars of bed tax money to it, so they can't bite the hand that feeds them.
And if I owned a hotel in this town, these people should just be outraged.
Hold on. Let me call Amber and Guyman over at the Chamber, see what they got for me. Nobody's picking up. Sorry. Keep going.
I'm sure it'll go to their voicemail. But anyway, it's just wrong. It's wrong because, again, Phoenix has figured out a way to go forward with this. And once again, Tucson just wallowing in just it's Tucson-ness.
So right? are we hearing that you literally have people that are temporarily living in Phoenix from California because they can do their jobs and their kids can go to school remotely?
Well, sure, yes, of course. And you know, anecdotally, you know, some people are buying condos because let's say they have to do this for a year, you know.
Right.
Well, what is their value of their condo right now going to go up or down, you know? So they're either buying or they're doing, you know, they're doing online rentals of you know, like a Airbnb or a VRBO, or they're staying in hotels. And again, the business travel is zero, right? The business travel is, you know, it's not maybe not zero, but it's, you know, off 80 to 90 to 95%. If you've got something that can replace, you know, your lost business travel, why not?
You know? No, it makes all the sense in the world, right? If you're that couple, that the family, that soccer is really important to your kid, right? This is the thing, this is one of your main priorities. And California is at just a horrible crap hole to live in right now under Gavin Newsom. Why wouldn't, and you had the money to do it, why wouldn't you go get a condo in Scottsdale, take your kid to all these soccer tournaments in Phoenix, right? Do your work and the kids can go to school remotely.
What's the difference? And you think about, you know, October, November, maybe part of December, where you have, you know, this great influx of revenue to your region, right? And that's, it's just amazing, not surprising, but disappointing that Pima County is, again, on the wrong side of an issue. And to the detriment of the people that work so hard to fill their coffers with money to blow on, you know, whatever they want to blow their money on. So it was just a discussion we had over Thanksgiving. And, you know, I checked back in, you know, yesterday just to make sure I hadn't kind of misremembered some things. And it's a bad situation and it's just a lost opportunity. And that's, again, you know, Pima County and Tucson like to pry, oh, we're progressive. Bull. They're not. I mean, if they're progressive, that means finding new ways to do things when, you know, avenues are choked off. And they're not, you know. And once again, businesses are not being served by just decisions that are being made by, like, that aren't even elected. You don't elect a Pima County Director of Public Health. You don't elect Chuck Huckleberry. You know, unelected people, and then, you know, they're the potted plants on the Board of Supervisors. They just say, yeah, let's go. You know, they approve it. Never
Absolutely.
Question it.
Well, let's do this. We're going to come back, and we got a few more things we want to cover with my friend Matt Neely. If you have a question or comment, jump in, 790-2040. Matt, I know we got a few more things to do. Where do you want to go next?
I just want to talk about this column that Tim Steller did over the weekend.
Just put it
in perspective.
A little Timmy story when we come back. I love it. All right. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. It sounds like a yes title, but it's not. Silent Lucidity, Queensryche, big one for them. 8:34 in the morning, Christy Simone, Matt Neely calling from the compound on the east side. Matthew, welcome back.
Good morning.
Hey, I want to give you a list. Listener Bob just sent me, because, you know, we're hearing all these Democrats say, we got to heal, bro. We got to heal and unite, okay? So this is his list of what Democrat politicians, media, and celebrities have called him for the last 4.5 years. Are you ready?
Go.
Bitter clinger, denier, racist, fascist, deplorable, divisive, bigot, hateful, spiteful, homophobe, Islamophobe, uninformed, flat earther, Walmart customer, let's see, privileged advantage, responsible for slavery, infidel, right-wing conspiracy nut, misogynist, white supremacist, transphobic, Nazi redneck, xenophobe, anti-socialist, borderline sociopath, militant domestic enemy, enemy of the state, chump, uneducated hick, gun and Bible toting racist, ignorant idiot, spineless coward, terrorist murderer. And he goes, that's as of January 13th, 2021.
And that's just fits.
That just fits.
I would add to that list WIG, like WHIG. That one's a big one too. They like that. So.
If anyone really in the media knows what a WIG is,
I don't know.
I mean, your presumption that they have such knowledge is, I think, very cute. Let's take a phone call before we get to your rant about little Timmy. Let's go to Kath on line three. Kath, good morning.
Good morning, Chris. Hey. At least he's not nebbish.
Well, thank you.
You know, the total opposite. There is a fabulous article in Imprimis, October 20, volume 49, number 10, Sensible and Compassionate Anti-COVID Strategy, the results of tremendous research. This guy lives in Santa Clara County. He's Stanford. There were 1,000 COVID cases that were identified in the county, but they found 50,000 people had been infected by antibody titer. That meant that the infection rate was 0.2%. Then there were 83 like researches done around the world, and the amount became the same everywhere. What he got together with two other researchers, and you can go online to www.gb, as in George Baker, declaration.org. It's the Barrington study.
Sure. Very familiar with that.
Go to the facts and use that in court or any place else anybody wants a lockdown. The results of the lockdown are far worse than the possibility of getting COVID, except for the vulnerable and the elderly. I've had it, and I could say it was no big deal.
Well, again, it affects different people, you know, differently. And you're right. Again, the lockdowns have their damage just as much as any disease out there. Just for everyone, real quick, before I let Kath go, of course, she's our pocket sketcher artist here on the show. Nebbish, a person, especially a man, who is regarded as pitifully ineffectual, timid, or submissive. So,
in the Jewish world, it's the last person you would ever introduce at a party. They don't exist. They don't have enough effect on anybody to dislike them or like them. They don't exist. There's nothing worse than not existing if you're alive.
You know something? I can't think of a better transition for Matt Neely to talk about Tim Steller than right now. So,
yes. Thank you. Oh, by the way, I hope your cooking program is easier than the one I did last night.
It will be easier, I promise.
We'll see you on Friday.
You got it. She's talking about my cooking class. Both Matt and Kath are signed up to do it, so a lot of pressure on me to deliver. So I promise not to spice anything and say, bam, like Emeril Lagasse. I promise.
At this point, I'm just hoping that the finished product of the cooking class is better than the finished product of the drawing of you from Kath's pocket sketching class that I did, you know, because it was,
yeah,
really grounds for having to.
Yeah, Matt's sketch of me looks like Ziggy, so it was pretty good. So tell me about, speaking of nebbish, tell me, and ineffectual, and the person no one talks to at the party, tell me about Tim Steller.
So over the weekend, Tim Steller at the Star wrote a column, and he basically says that Representative Mark Fincham should resign or be removed from office. And the grounds for this action is that he was at the January 6th protest. So first he says that Fincham claims not to have participated in any of the property damage or violence. And later on, he says that there's basically no evidence he said that he knows that he was on the Capitol steps because he had sent out some pictures or something. He said, but he even Stellar says he does not know that Fincham broke the law or entered the Capitol. So, and let me be clear from the onset. What happened on January 6th is not cool. The protest is a protest. That's fine. What happened breaking into the, in my opinion, this is Matt's opinion, breaking into the Capitol and storming whatever, that's not cool. And I'm not okay with it for a lot of reasons. And furthermore, I don't get into the, well, what about all the Dems and burning the cities? I mean, I can say that the city riots are wrong and the riot at the Capitol was wrong. Okay. So I had that intellectual, honesty that I can say that.
Yep.
So Stellar goes on this list of grievances about all these organizations that Fincham aligns himself with and theories that Stellar disagrees with about Fincham. And then he goes on that he's not concludes from all this. Again, no evidence that I know of that Fincham entered the Capitol or broke the law.
Right.
So, but he goes on. And so as I read that, overthrow of a elected body or interrupting a duly elected body to do business that they're legally allowed or scheduled to do, that's a big deal, right? And it's a very big deal. So Congress was impeded from meeting a lawful meeting that they had that day, right?
Yes, sir.
And so they had to resign retreat from the Capitol and not have their meeting. So standing in the way of officially scheduled business of a duly elected, legally elected body, that's a bad thing. And I agree with Stellar on that. Okay. Here's where I have a problem. When stuff happens under his own nose in Tucson, there's no outrage on his part. And so the example I want to bring up is in 2011, April 2011, TUSD had a governing board meeting, and the dais was stormed by students who chained themselves to chairs, the meeting had to be canceled. Well, they are a duly elected body, right? There, and a mob. So we call it, everybody's using the word insurrection. So we'll say there was an insurrection of the TUSD and they did not allow them to do their scheduled business that night.
Right.
And my take is there is no difference. An insurrection is an insurrection, right? Anarchy is anarchy. So, and then I looked up the article from April 27th of 2011 and it has a picture of Adelita Grijalva and Judy Burns standing on the dais behind the students. And either she is doing the touchdown Jesus move or from Notre Dame, or she's clapping. I mean, if you look at the picture, it's clear. And you look at her comments, this is Adelita Grijalva. She said at least one board member, Grijalva, felt the protest was effective. Quote, and this is in quotes, this is TUSD students telling us as a board that they demand to be listened to, she said. Quote, they want to be considered, and really, they're the ones we represent. So she did not condemn a mob taking over, basically for the night, overthrowing a legal elected body from their legally authorized work.
You mean that the kids had the same feeling about her as some people had about Congress? No one's listening to them, so they have to take over the body?
Is that where we're at?
For a few people that I know who were in that room when it happened, they said obviously she coordinated it. She was on her cell phone, and she was like, "This is the time to come in." So she was, of course, in on the whole thing, is what I've heard from a few people who were in the room that day. And what, little Timmy didn't write anything about it? That this was a bad thing?
Well, this is my problem. There was no FOIA request for phone records.
That's a lot of work, buddy.
There was no calls for her to resign. Oh, and by the way, she's on the county board of supervisors. I mean, her political career has progressed, right?
Sure.
And it was never even discussed in the election that I know. Even when they endorsed her, they didn't say, hopefully she's learned from this lesson. I mean, they didn't even chide her over this thing. I mean, and so like when it's close to home, where it's something stellar. The Arizona Daily Star, they can write about what happened in Washington on January 6th, which I will say again, I am not cool with once it turned from a protest to a riot. I am not cool with that, okay? They can write all they want to about what happened, you know, 2,500 miles away. But when it happens under their nose on in a forum that is like their big care about is TUSD, right? And public education. It happens there, and what? Nothing. And then we'll fast forward. So this is 2011. We'll fast forward. Let's fast forward in the time machine, Chris. Let's go forward 9 years to last May. There was a riot. Oh, again, a riot, a mob downtown, and a sitting city council person interfered with the police response to a riot.
Yep.
And where was the outrage about that? And that's my thing. Like, when it happens under their very nose, you know, they can't, in their hometown, in the town that they are the, for what will, they're the only newspaper, they're the only daily newspaper. So as much as it pains me to say this, they're the newspaper of record for Tucson, right? I mean, they always like to use that, oh, it's a paper of record for Tucson. Okay, great. Well, balls and strikes, guys. I mean, if one insurrection, if one mob thing is wrong, then aren't all of them?
It all matters what side you're on, right? When it comes to guys like little Timmy.
And this is the market, you know, you serve. This is the market. This is where you have the most impact and leverage, right? Something that the Arizona Daily Star writes about what happened in Washington is insignificant. I mean, yeah, it gives everybody a warm fuzzy in here in Tucson that the Arizona Daily Star condemns something or saying that Fincham should resign or be removed from office with no evidence that he actually broke the law, right? Just because he was at a protest. So if you are elected to office, you're not allowed to even attend a protest. Boy, that's going to take a lot of people out of commission right there on both sides.
Now, I know,
right?
this is unexpected. Little Timmy was in the industrial park getting one of his stupid hats reblocked across the parking lot. So he's here. He wants to respond to you. Hold on.
I must report this. It would be worth my life if I do not report this.
It's only until tomorrow, and he's going to take it off again.
What do you got for me, Tim?
After he steals the tank from the Panzer Division.
Here we go.
He brings it here into the barracks.
Oh, I see nothing. I was not here. I did not even get up this morning.
So, Tim, get back to your hat, man. It looks great, man. Get it even bigger. It looks like a garbage can on your head. Now, if you ever want to ruin Tim Stellar on Facebook, okay, all you do is call him Sergeant Schultz of Tucson Journalism, and he will disappear every conversation. Hates it, okay? So I've been pounding him with that, like, forever, all right? So Doug Martin last week said, thanks, Tim Stellar, for this gutsy article about Chuck Huckleberry's contract. Well, and whatever. So Tim, once in a while, steps up a little bit. And I said, hey, Doug, thanks for sharing this article. I really needed a good laugh from the Sergeant Schultz of Journalism. And then what was so funny is the entire conversation died, right? So that's all. If you want to kill Tim Stellar online, just call him Sergeant Schultz, because all this stuff is going on around him and he says nothing about it. He is a waste of the space that they give him on the paper. He's not good enough to do three columns a week. He can barely do one. And that's where we're at. So... where are we going next, Matt? I've already done. I mean, Sergeant Schultz was here, for God's sakes. I mean, this is what's going on.
Good old John Banner.
You want to do the FBI or you want to do Twitter, Facebook censorship? Where are we going?
We can do the FBI thing. That's fine.
All right. 8:48 in the morning. Christy Simone, Matt Neely, Tommy Callahan, former Wake Up Tucson guest Trevor Rabin. Here we go. I like that. Look at that. Look at you. That'll get you. That'll finish your day off here at Wake Up Tucson. We're hanging out with Matthew Neely, calling from his underground lair over on the east side. The problem is his underground lair is might be opening up because of the pothole above it. It's just going right through the earth, right into his lair. So wear your helmet, buddy.
Makes it rough.
One day we were going to get to. I know we didn't have time. I'll talk about this tomorrow. I put on Facebook, why should I stay? Right? And I am amazed. I'm up to almost 170 comments of people of why I should or shouldn't stay. And it's quite fascinating. So we'll cover that tomorrow. And then we got Frank Figliuzzi, FBI Way. He'll be on. He's got a new book coming up called The FBI Way. This is probably before the current FBI and their situation. So, Matthew Neely, let's get to, speaking of the FBI, look at me transitioning. We went
nice
from
segue.
We went from Katz Nebish to Tim Steller to Sergeant Schultz to the FBI Way to, Matthew, what are we learning about the FBI and any sort of knowledge they had of maybe what was going to go down last Wednesday?
So this is an article in the Stamford Advocate, but that was credited to the Washington Post. And the article says that the FBI warned of war, quote unquote, at Capitol, contradicting claims that there was no indication of looming violence. And, you know, as I read this, they said that the FBI, day before the rioters stormed Congress, the FBI in Virginia issued, quote, an explicit internal warning that extremists were preparing to travel to Washington to commit violence and, quote, war, unquote, according to an internal document reviewed by the Washington Post. That contradicts a senior official's declaration. The Bureau had no intelligence indicating anyone at last week's pro-Trump protest planned to do harm. So here we are. So, gee, and I had such a high degree of faith and confidence in the FBI after the whole Russia thing. I mean, they really nailed that one. And so, shocking. So the whole thing is, like, Chris, think about it for a minute. If you're looking for a car or a gas grill or something, everything you look at online, you are bombed with ads that everybody knows. Google and make sure everybody else knows. Facebook knows that you're looking for a car or a gas grill or a washing machine, and you are bombed with ads. And you're telling me that they know what I'm thinking. There's times that I've said things to people in conversation, and 5 minutes later, I have an ad for it in my Facebook feed. Okay. I'm sure it's just coincidence, wink, wink. You're telling me that Facebook can figure this out to help somebody sell an appliance or a car, but our national intelligence thing didn't know. So then now we find out, well, yeah, they did have an idea that was coming. So was Trump told? Was the Capitol Police told? Was anybody told about this? I think the answer is no. And then you go back to the FBI, the way they behaved. Even an agent said in a private conversation with his paramour that, hey, we got to get Trump, you know. So good grief. And then they spent the first year of his presidency trying to get him on this Russia thing.
So what's interesting is the guy who quit as the Capitol Police Chief, Stephen Sund, now remember he's taken the fall for what happened, right? And now he's quoted on Tuesday by this Washington Post that the FBI never made him aware of any intelligence they had of any of this.
Right.
So he loses his job based on, well, you know, maybe he would have staffed up differently. You know, if you look at every Trump rally or protest out there, every one of them has been totally peaceful from the Trump side.
Right.
That I know of.
Right.
So if someone's got something different, let it, you know, bring it my way.
Not only was the one totally peaceful in Tucson, but it was, we put a lot of money into the coffers of the city by paying parking, you know, parking at the Park and Save lot. I mean, come on. It's, you talk about people, they clean up after themselves. Generally, it's just odd. And again, I will say it again, I'm not cool with what happened. And, you know, there's issues of foreseeability. I told you the other day, putting pressure on the Senate to overturn, I've got my issues with that. You know, if people are such constitutional mavens and they believe in states' rights, why are we thinking that the vice president who represents no states is going to throw, you know, I've got all sorts of issues with it, right? But I can intellectually, I got the intellectual consistency to say I have problems with burning down private property and vandalizing private property in cities over the summer. And I have problems with an angry mob, dumping a statue of Christopher Christopher Columbus, that I'm sure was a public statue, into the Baltimore Harbor. And then Nancy Pelosi, when asked specifically, should this be taken down by city council, not by a mob in the middle of the night, Pelosi says people will do what they do. She can't even be intellectually consistent about stuff like this. The local paper can't call it out. And here we are in Washington, where the FBI can't even, you know, alert local authorities, which in this case, the Capitol Police or the local authorities, they can't even alert them like, hey, you know, we might want to bring in some extra folks here or put up some extra barricades or whatever.
No, again, intellectual consistency is what we're looking for here, right? And
yep.
That's why I started off this week with Congress sucks.
Yep.
This is where we're at.
There you go.
Amigo, thanks for a nice hour of radio. Have a super day and stay safe in that bunker out there.
Thanks, Chris. Good talking to you.
All right, Zach's coming up with Tipping Point. Hugh Hewitt, Bill Buckmaster, Get Weird with Dave Ramsey. And then we got Lee Habib, American Stories, KVOI.com. If you miss anything, Tommy Callahan, nice job. Have a great day.